I want to tell you a story this morning. I want to tell you a story, a Bible story, about a young lady who, of all the characters in the Bible, I feel the most sorry for. If I was going to pick one person who I think wasn't treated fairly, it would be this person who I'm going to tell you about this morning. And I'm going to come at this story from a little bit different. You know, sometimes when we read about Bible characters and we hear their story, we get a certain mindset of how things happened. And I may change some of your mindset this morning, or at least give you a different perspective and come at this story in perhaps a way that you've never thought about it before. And I do that from the words that the Bible uses and what it means to be a bond made. A bond slave was a person who might have started out as a slave, but who was offered their freedom, but chose to stay. And they would take at least a male servant, and they would pierce that servant's ear. I'm not sure, I guess I can't relate to a scripture where they did that to ladies, but it was somebody that chose to stay. And Hagar is called a bond maid. And so I'm going to tell you her story, again, maybe from a little bit different perspective than you've heard it before. But this was a young girl that lived in Egypt. The Bible doesn't say how old that she was when we first come across her. I think she was a teenager, maybe 16, 17, maybe even 18 years of age. She needed a job. She was unemployed. And so I think she did what young people have done down through the ages. She went around in her city from house to house asking if there was work that she could do, asking if there was some function that she could serve for the people of the house. One day she came home excited. She told her mother. She said, "Mama, I found a job today. I found an older couple, and they're such a sweet couple. I mean, even though they're old, that man thinks his wife is still the prettiest woman that ever existed." And she just worshiped the ground that he walks on. And so they asked me to work for him. I'm going to go to work for them. She went to work day after day. One day she came home and said, "Mom, I found out something more about the people I work for. They're Jews. They came here because of the famine that's in their land. They just came to Egypt to stay a little while." She says, "They're so sweet. They worship God. They pray. And they're so sweet and kind to me." She went to work again for several more days. And she came home another time and said, "Mommy, you'll never guess what my mistress told me this morning. She told me that God had given them a promise that they were going to have a son. And through that son, all the world was going to be blessed." Isn't it exciting to have a promise from God like that? And so this young lady, as she continued to work for this couple, began to love them, began to get to know them. She worked hard. She was obedient. She was sincere. She always tried to do her best as she served this couple that she worked for. A few months passed, and one night she came home more excited than ever. She said, "Mama, you'll never guess what Abraham and Sarah have asked me to do. The famine's over, and they're getting ready to go back home, and they've asked me to go with them. Mom, I'd like to do it. It would be an opportunity for me to see a different part of the world, an opportunity for me to continue my employment." And so this young Egyptian girl, who had never probably left her own city, went with this older couple and took a journey out of her homeland to a strange land, going to serve this old couple who she had come to love. And so she goes home with them. She goes and makes new friends. She goes to a new place. She lives in a new home. And as she works for this older couple, she studies them. She watches as they worship their God. I mean, growing up in Egypt, she had many gods, but they only worshiped one God. She watched and paid attention as they prayed to that God. She watched and paid attention as they not only worshiped their God and prayed to that God, but as they loved each other. I want to tell you something. This is not part of my sermon. I'm just throwing this in for nothing this morning. The world needs today some older couples that love each other, that aren't ashamed to show it, to set an example for the young people today. If you are an older couple, you just love on each other. If you are a middle-aged couple, you love on each other. If you are a young couple this morning, and you can decide what category you want to go in yourself, I'm not putting you in any of them. But if you're a young couple this morning, you pick out an older couple that love each other, aren't ashamed to show it, and you pattern your marriage after them. Praise God that He's given us in this church many, many couples that have been married for years and years and years. And you know what? They still love each other. Still love each other. So she watches them. 10 years pass. This teenager is now probably in her late 20s. One day her mistress calls her in and she says, "My God promised my husband and I a son. He said through that son all the earth would be blessed. I'm 73 years old. Abraham is 83 years old. It doesn't look like I'm ever going to have a baby." She says to this one that has worked for her now for over 10 years, "You're young, you're strong. Would you have a baby with my husband? Perhaps he will be the son that God will bless the world through. Perhaps he will be the one that God has promised." I believe this young lady, Hagar, was sincere. I believe everything she did, she thought she was doing right. Here was this lady, a religious lady, a lady that served God, a lady that loved God, a lady that prayed to God. Here was Sarah asking her to do something that in any other circumstance might be wrong. And by the way, in this circumstance, it was still wrong. But again, she was following Sarah's lead, and she agreed to do it. Now, again, not part of my sermon, but Sarah got ahead of God. God had a plan. God was still going to give Abraham a Sarah and Sarah a son. That son Isaac was going to be born about 10 years after this. But Sarah got in a hurry and says, "God needs help. I need to do something to help God out." I want to tell you something. It wasn't true in Sarah's day, and it's not true today. God doesn't need our help. He's still God. He's still omnipotent. He can still accomplish every single point that's in His plan. He can still get done what needs to be done. We don't need to get ahead of God and help Him. We just need to be patient and let God work at His timing. And so Sarah came to this young lady with this request. She agrees to do it. She gets pregnant. She has a baby boy. And for 17 years, this son, Ishmael, is raised in the home of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. He grows to be a teenager. Then one day, something wonderful happens. This girl is now about, Hagar's now in her 40s. A teenager when she left Egypt, now in her 40s. And something miraculous happens. Her mistress, Sarah, who is now 90 years old, her husband Abraham is now 100 years old. Well, Sarah gets pregnant. 89 years old. She's 90 when Isaac is born. During the 9 months of her pregnancy, Hagar rejoices with Sarah. She takes care of her. Every day they just rejoice together that God has kept His promise to Sarah. Sarah delivers the baby boy. And this servant girl rejoices with her that Isaac has been born. Rejoices with her that God has kept His promise. And again, God will always keep His promises. There's not one promise in this book that God ever made to any man that He's ever broke. Every promise He has kept. It may not be in the way that we expect it to be kept. It may not be at the time that we expect it to be kept. But God keeps every promise. And then one day, as we continue the story, one day out of the blue, something terrible happens. Abraham calls Hagar in. Now again, she's in her 40s. She has a teenage son. And Abraham calls her in and says, "Hagar, Ishmael has made fun of his little baby brother, Isaac. You have to leave. You have to leave. And so he gives her a piece of bread, maybe a loaf of bread, the Bible just says bread, and some water, and says, goodbye. Now just, I want you to get her picture. A teenage girl. She goes to work for this couple. She has Abraham's child. It's now some 20, 30 years later. That boy is 17 years old, and she's just called in out of the blue one day and says, you got to leave. You got to leave. Here's some bread. Here's some water. Just leave. Just leave. Again, I believe she was a sincere young lady. I believe that what she did, she always thought was right. She served this couple for almost 30 years. She had Abraham's baby. She was a stranger, still a stranger in a foreign land. She had no other job. She had no other place to live. She lived in their home. They took care of her every need. And now after 30 years, without so much as a severance pay, without so much as a retirement plan, they just said, get out. You're on your own. Here's enough for your next meal. Some bread and here's a little bit of water. And we read what happened. She went out into the wilderness. And she said, we're going to die. I have no place else to go. I have no other means to make a living. I have no other way to provide for myself and my son. We're going to die. And she goes and she says, I don't want to see my son die. And so she sets him under a bush and withdraws herself about a bow shot, as far as somebody could shoot a bow. And she says to God, we're going to die. I don't want to see my son die. Now, I would submit to you that there's people in this room this morning that can identify with Hagar. All your life you tried to do right. All your right you tried to serve God. All your life you tried to live in a way that brings honor and glory to Him. I believe that's what Hagar did. I believe that she came to know the God of Abraham and Isaac. She was an Egyptian. As a young girl, she worshipped many gods. But working for this couple for 30 years, she began to worship the one true God. And there are people here this morning that have tried to do that their whole life. And yet, out of the blue, something has come into your life that you can't explain. Something that's come into your life that it's a heartache. Something that's come into your life, not as a result of any sin that you know about, not as a result of anything that you've done, but just something that has come into your life that has changed your world, that has upset your world, that you don't know what you're going to do next, you don't know what the plan is next, you don't understand, and you look to heaven and you ask God, why? Why? This morning, there's three things I want to tell you about Hagar that I think will be an encouragement to you. First of all, I want to tell you, she didn't die. I mean, she lived a long time after this story took place. She didn't die there that day underneath the bush. She felt like she was because she didn't know what she was going to do next. She felt like she was going to die that day because there was no promise of any money. There was no promise of any more bread. There was no promise of any more provision. She thought that she and her son was going to die. She didn't know where her next meal was coming from. She did not know where they were going to live. She did not know how they were going to make it. She thought that they were going to die. But they did not die. Neither will you. I mean, you'll die someday. If the Lord tarries, we all will. It's appointed unto man wants to die, and after that the judgment. But you're not going to die as a result of this thing that's come into your life. You're not going to die today. You're not going to die as a result of this upside down circumstance that has come into your life. It may feel like you are. I mean, you may feel like Sarah. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do next. I don't know how I'm going to make it tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know where I'm going to buy food. I just don't know what I'm going to do next. It could be a health concern. It could be a relationship problem. It could be something else that's going on in your life that nobody else here knows about, but you know about it. And you just feel like if you don't feel like you're going to die, maybe you wish you did die. Maybe you think, hey, the only way I can get out of this situation is for my life to end. I can't see any way out. And so, Lord, you might as well just take me home. Let me die now. And that's what Hagar said. She didn't die. Number two, I would point out to you that she didn't blame anybody. I find no record in the Holy Scripture where she said, it's all Sarah's fault. I mean, if she hadn't told Abraham to kick me out, he wouldn't have kicked me out. I served her for over 30 years. I did what she wanted me to do. I rejoiced with her when her son was born. It's all her fault. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in this situation. I find no record that she blamed Sarah. I find no record that she blamed Abraham. Would have been easy to blame either one of them. She could have said to Abraham, boys will be boys. Ishmael's a teenager. You know what teenagers do? It's better to put them in a box and with a little hole in the end, and after they get 17, cover up the hole. That's a joke. You can laugh. I was just kidding. We never do that to teenagers. We couldn't find a box big enough. Right, Brother Wendell? But she could have said, hey, boys will be boys. He's a typical teenager. So what? He made fun of Isaac. Is that any reason to kick me out? She didn't blame Abraham. No record that she blamed Abraham. No record that she blamed Isaac. And you know, what do we want to do? The first thing that trouble comes into our life, we want to find somebody to blame. I read about these people that go to their psychiatrist and they discover it's not their problem, it's their grandpa's problem. Well, what does your grandpa have to do with your problems? What does your grandma have to do with your problems? It's not their fault. She didn't blame anybody. And neither should we. Neither should we. And then the third thing that I would point out to you, and this is the most important, she trusted God. She trusted God. When she didn't know what to do, when she didn't know where her next meal was coming from, when she didn't know where she was going to live, she put her trust in God. Now, I think she might have questioned and tried to reason with God a little bit. I think she probably said to God, I've always tried to do what's right. Ever since I came into this home, I've tried to be an obedient bondmaid. I've tried to do exactly what Abraham and Sarah have told me to do. When I had their child, I had some questions about it, but I figured if they were asking me to do it, it must be right. And so I went ahead and did it. And even when Isaac was born, I rejoiced with Sarah when that little boy was born. God, I don't understand why you would allow them to kick me out, why you would bring me to this place where I don't know what I'm going to do, where I don't know where my next meal is coming from. I just don't know why you would bring me to this place. Job had that same question of God when he lost all his wealth and he lost his 10 children. His wife told him to curse God and die, and he lost his health and was sitting in that garbage heap to get the warmth from the fires where they were burning the garbage and taking broken pottery and scraping his sores. And he questioned with God and said, why? It's not right. It's not fair. I don't understand. But he said, as Hagar did, I don't have to understand it. I just have to trust you. You're God. You have a plan. It's not for me to tell you what's right and what's wrong. It's not for me to tell you what's fair and unfair. It's not for me to question what you're doing, even though I don't understand it. I know that you're with me and you will get me through it. I'm just going to trust you. And in verse 17, we read it a moment ago, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, what aileth thee, Hagar? Oh, I wish this could happen to some of us sometimes. When we get into those situations where we don't know what we're going to do, the bottom has dropped out of our world, and circumstances have come into our life that we just don't understand why God would let something like that happen to us. We've tried to love Him. We've tried to serve Him. We've tried to always do what's right. Why, God, would you let this happen? I wish we could hear that voice from heaven. What aileth thee? What's the matter with you? Why are you having this self-pity party? God loves you. He knows what's going on in your life. It's part of His plan. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. That voice called out, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. For God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." I want to remind you this morning, God knows where you are. He hears your cry. He has the answer already worked out. He has the plan already worked out. That angel told Hagar, "Get up! Lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation." You're not going to die. You're going to live. And Ishmael is going to be the head of a great nation. I wish we could hear the voice of God, the voice of an angel asking us the question, "What aileth thee? What aileth thee?" I mean, the angel already knows the answer to the question. It's a rhetorical question so that we'll answer it to ourselves. "What aileth thee? Fear not. Fear not." God knows where you are. He's heard your cry. He's already got a plan. He'll take care of you. And what was true for Hagar is true for us. He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what is going on in our life. And we may not understand why God has allowed this set of circumstances to come in our life. But He knows what He's doing. And we just need to trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. You see, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, perhaps He's using the circumstances of your life to get your attention. Perhaps He's using the circumstances of your life to help you understand that you can't make it without God. And you've heard me say hundreds of times, if you heard me say it once, I don't understand how people can get through this life without God. I just don't know how they can make it. Don't know. And if you're not saved this morning, perhaps God's using those circumstances to get your attention and to say, "Hey, you need me. You need what I purchased for you on Calvary's cross. You need salvation. You need the Lord Jesus Christ." And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I guarantee you, God's using every circumstance in your life that He can to get your attention, to point you to the one that died in your place, to point you to the one that paid for your sins. You see, you're special to God. He wants a relationship with you. He can't have that relationship with you right now because of your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none perfect, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. And that sin breaks our relationship with God. But Jesus paid for our sin. Every one of them. And He offers us that right relationship with God. Would you hear Him this morning as He calls you to come to Christ? Would you hear Him this morning as He calls you to come to that salvation that would make you right with your God? Now, most of us are Christians here this morning, so let me close by asking the question one more time. What aileth thee? Fear not. God knows where you are. God hears your voice. God has a plan. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for stories in this book, true stories about real people, about how they trusted You. I pray You'd help us to trust You like Hagar did. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, right now they'd put aside every excuse that's kept them from coming before. They'd put aside their doubts. They'd put aside the questions they may have. And with simple childlike faith, they'd understand that they're a sinner and that sin separates them from You, that Jesus paid for it, and if they'd come to Him, He'll take care of it. He'll wipe it away, make them right with You. And I pray, Father, if there's one, two, three, or more than that that are here this morning that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, in just a second, they'll walk down this aisle, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I pray for the Christians that are here. You know what's going on in every person's life. You know the heartache, the trial, what's going on. Father, help them to hear the message this morning from heaven. What aileth thee? Fear not. God has heard thy cry, and he'll take care of them. Father, let us catch afresh that knowledge this morning, that hope that we have in you. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.